How's everyone doing? Today I had my therapy appointment and it was done over Zoom. However, my Wi-Fi connection for the first time ever was not cooperating. It would not let me be great. And so I could see my therapist on my phone, but she wasn't able to see me on her screen in her office. And I had told her, I was like, I could see you. And she was like, I can't see you. She forgot that I told her that I could see her. And she was just thinking, okay, it's mutual. She was like, oh, your connection must be weak. That must be why the audio is working, but the video isn't working. And I was like, can we just, keep going with it? And she was like, yes. So for the first time ever in my therapy sessions, I watched a therapist read like possibly emails. She wasn't texting to my knowledge or typing anything, but she was reading. She didn't know that I could see her. So I was watching her reading and reading and reading and reading. And it's like, bitch. Are you serious? So the thing is, it's like I really like to pick and choose my battles. So today, like after the session, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call her out. I'm going to email her and tell her I saw you reading, and I hope that this is an isolated incident. I think that you forgot that I said that I could see you on my screen, even though you couldn't see me. And, I'm afraid. I was like, okay, if I'm going to address this, I have to address this via email. I do not want to address this face to face because I think that's embarrassing for her. And then it could like just be awkward and make the session a bust. So it's like, if I'm going to address it, it needs to be via email. But then I also feel afraid to address it because I feel like, okay, this is the first time this has ever happened to me with any therapist. And with that job where you're just listening to people hour after hour after hour, hell yeah, you want to be reading some shit. Hell yeah, you want to be multitasking. But it's also like extremely disrespectful. And she did a good job of, it like participating and saying some things. But I was watching her read the whole time. Like her screen is lit up and reflecting in her glasses and them eyes is going. She was reading, if not reading and typing something out. So I do not know what I should do because I don't want to make anything weird, especially if it's an isolated incident. But it's like, if she has the audacity to do this a second time, if she has the audacity to do this a second time, let me say something. I am not going to be wondering if I should speak up or not. I will pipe up. So I don't know. I'm gonna think about it for a few days. And I think if I send like a two-sentence email, I'm not doing too much. I'm not making her feel weird. But it was like, no. You can't do that. It's your job to be like honed in, undivided attention. Like I used to get back in the days when everybody wasn't married to their cell phones. When I first started therapy, when I had my first therapist, when I was a teenager, they were not all up in no screen. It's like phones and all that. It's really distracting. And it's just so funny that she like didn't know. She didn't know I could see her ass. And that's why it's weird for me, because it's like I think that's really embarrassing for her. So, I don't know. I'm gonna think about it if I want to say something. I think it's kind of in my best interest to say something because if I keep it in and then she just, manages to annoy me in other ways, like I might have an attitude, and that attitude will be coming from the reading, and it will be something else, and so it will be combined, and I will just maybe not be so nice to her. So I will let y'all know if I decide to say something, possibly, or I'll keep it to myself. But, I mean, that was not on my bingo card, seeing my therapist, like, la, 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 let me get into my Gmail and sift through it while she's baring her soul. All right, so Vanderpump Rules, episode 13. All right, let's get into it. Episode 13 was a standout episode. It ended perfectly, but I was just like, Ariana was in the best mood in season 13, which is so perfect because we saw her barking at Sandoval at James's house the time before, and we saw her, getting so upset when they were on the beach, and now she's just zen. She was like zen with Schwartz and like looking so pretty, and that is the redemption arc that Ariana needs for all of her, crazy ass, loser ass haters. Anyway, so the episode begins with Jax visiting James. They have an upcoming appearance at Sur that was heavily promoted. It's so funny. It's like, I think I would avoid a Sur event with James and Jax, or just James. Like, the show is too popular. You're gonna be packed in there like a sardine. You're not gonna be able to get any drink quickly if you try to order something from the bar. Everybody is like knowing that a TV show is being filmed there. They're gonna be dressed up so much. The service is gonna be really bad. It's gonna be a bunch of like aspiring actors and models. Like, keep me away from those Sur appearances. But I've actually never been to Sur, so me saying keep me away from the Sur appearances is not that difficult. It will happen. It's pretty pathetic that I haven't been there, but it will happen. So I love that James suggested to Jax that he bring Lisa flowers. That's so cute. I don't know. James, he's like, he's a softie, and he's definitely mature beyond his years in many ways. Not completely, but in many ways. So Brittany visits Sheena, and Sheena is crying to Brittany about how people are saying that Brock and Lala are too close. And she says that she's been fighting with Brock a lot. And you know what? Like, after what Rachel did, I understand why Sheena would be apprehensive, or sorry, start to get a little nervous about Brock and Lala, because it's like when we think about somebody cheating, we always think about it being like a random whore at a bar, possibly someone off of a dating app, so possibly a friend of a friend of a friend. We don't think that it's like someone in our tight circle. And once, with what Rachel did in front of everybody's face, like, yeah, I would wonder if somebody else is gonna pull a Rachel. I think that's understandable. But as far as people weighing in on Brock and Lala, like, a lot of Bravo fans are very obsessed with Bravo celebrities, and a lot of Bravo fans are very jealous. And I think Sheena has like lived a wild life. She's been a bit of a free spirit. I do believe that she had a threesome with John Mayer. I don't see why she would be lying about that. But and I do understand why he would say that's not true, because he wouldn't want to talk about it so many years later. But I think Sheena being a free spirit and kind of being able to jump from husband to husband in a way, I could see how that could trigger some people, and some people are just bitter. And I could see why they would, have something negative to say. It's like, I watched this one video that Brock did, and he posted it on Instagram, where like a girl like leapt over him, or he like picked up some girl, whatever. And people were saying that they were too close and it was disrespectful. And it's like, the way how people have so much to say and are so negative. And it's funny because the source, I bet I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of the people who are like, Brock and Lala are too close, or Brock is too close with this female that he's working with, I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of those bitches were single. And then the other 10% might be gay men who want to have sex with Brock, because honestly, Why wouldn't you want to have sex with Brock? Look at that ass. That's just the ass. Look at that ass. Look at the body. Look at the face. Like, I understand why some of the gays ride for Brock. But I mean, it's sad that she's always really, really cared about what people think so much, and I hate that it's affecting her so negatively because, perception is reality. So it's like if she's planting those seeds that something is happening with him and Lala, she's gonna possibly suspect something when nothing is happening. I think that Lala would never try to sleep with Brock be simply be, like, or I'll put it this way. I think the best reason for Lala to avoid trying to ever hook up with Brock is she knows that the fans of VPR would not be having it. It would be career suicide for her. Because men, as Lala has said many times, men are able to do their dirt and recover from it, but women are not. So I just think that reason alone would keep Lala away from Brock. That being said, I think it's very obvious that Lala is jealous of the relationship that, or sorry, of the marriage that Sheena has, because Lala's sitting here going to a sperm bank and fighting with her ex and being involved in all that drama. I think Lala's jealous of anybody who's happily married, but I don't think like Brock is someone that she would hook up with. And so Brock wants to get a job, and he will. I mean, like he needs to start an OnlyFans. I mean, I would subscribe. Depends on what the price is, but I would subscribe. But the things that I would want to see on Brock's OnlyFans, he wouldn't be posting. So Sheena's crying to Brittany, and she says that her and Brock have been fighting a lot, and Brittany's just like, it's all good, and like Brittany is that friend that I don't want keep her away. Like, I don't want to hear about how everything is not a big deal if it's a big deal. Like, shut up, please. So Schwartz and Katie, they are like the best of friends. They're at Mel's Diner, which was so nice to see. Like, Mel's Diner is this spot on Sunset Boulevard, if I'm not mistaken. There's nothing special about it, but it's kind of prime location on Sunset. And so everybody goes there. A lot of celebrities go there. It's just a fun place to stop by if you want something to eat real quick. Nothing special about it. But I enjoyed seeing them there. Like, being in SoCal, being from SoCal, like, these shows are really, really fun for us to see, like, everybody hitting up the places that we were, like, just at or spent so much time at. So then, Katie and Schwartz, they compete. They text Tori at the same time. And I don't like the Tori storyline. Tori does look young, and I just don't feel like either of them are genuinely interested in her. I feel like she's a little pawn in some like producer's like horny little script, and I don't like it. And I think she's done. I don't think we're gonna be seeing any more of Tori for the season. I hope not. I think she played her role. Like, it's not. I'm not buying into Schwartz or Katie wanting to be with Tori in any legitimate way other than to compete. So I don't enjoy that storyline. So Brock and Sheena, they go to Barton G. Now, my friend had a birthday at Barton G, and I cannot wait to go back. It is a vibe. Vanderpump Rules didn't, they barely showed how things go down at Barton G, but at Barton G, every single item that you order off of the menu is a total presentation. It's like very Instagram worthy. They put a lot of effort and attention to detail into making every single entree just like visually like interesting to look at and really big. Like, y'all gotta go if you're in Los Angeles. I highly recommend it. And the food is great. So then Sheena says that she was looking at, Sheena tells Brock that she was looking at his juicy booty and she is not alone. Like, okay, First of all, any pants with pockets on the back is going to give you a bit of an ass. I mean, granted, some people, they need to say a prayer. They will never, ever have a butt. But, pockets on the ass help to give the illusion that somebody has a butt. But then with Brock, it's like he's already rock hard and he already got a big butt to begin with. So then when you squeeze that booty into some tight pants, and you got the belt at the top of the pant secured in tightly so that the booty cheeks is popping just even more. I need more of this. Like, can you tell? I need more. Thank you, Brock. Like, Brock is eye candy. So, I love that Sheena says that she's gonna bring sex toys to the hotel to celebrate their anniversary, and Brock gets so embarrassed. It's so adorable. I love it when people who like engage in grown folks' business get completely humiliated if somebody mentions it. I think it's endearing and super hilarious to me because he's probably a freak, but on camera, he's like, oh my God, don't say that. So then Sheena says that she has a prenup. But she doesn't know where it is and she doesn't think she'll use it. And I just don't like her putting any of this out into the universe. Like, shut up, Sheena, please. So, they're talking about money. They're having issues, or Brock feels, he feels bad that he's not really able to be the breadwinner and to do much contributing. And he starts crying about not seeing his older kids. And I don't know. Brock is so likable, I think, and I don't know everything that happened with him and his ex and the kids, but I agree with Sheena. Like him having Summer Moon, it really is an opportunity to start over and to have a close relationship with his child from the beginning and to not have this like strained and estranged relationship. So then Schwartz, he's cute when he says that he's not having a midlife crisis. It's a midlife revival. Like, I don't know. That was so perfect. I wonder if he saw it somewhere or producer fed him that phrase because I think it was a little too perfect. So, Schwartz also says it's kind of like a trashy midlife crisis, according, or sorry, Sandoval says it's kind of like a trashy midlife crisis, what him and Schwartz are going through. So why does, we see Schwartz getting a tattooed of his dogs, and it's like this show is now in its what, season 11, if I'm not mistaken. Could be season 12, but I think it's season 11. 11 or 12, right? But anyways, I need to know at this point, why is Schwartz still pronouncing Ariana's name Ariana? Like, how long have you known Ariana? Why are you calling her Ariana? And why is Ariana not like scolded you and told her to pronounce her name right? Like, why is Ariana and the entire cast allowing Schwartz to say Ariana? So Sandoval is still trying to get Schwartz to move in with him because, there's no one else in LA who couldn't move in with Sandoval, apparently. And then while Schwartz is getting his tattoo, which honestly, like, I think the tattoo was in the wrong place. I think, like, that tattoo would have looked nice on his arm, not at the top of his back. But, anyways, Sandoval falls over in his chair. And it was just, I mean, he took it in stride. It was so good. I don't know. The cameras, the editors were like, we're keeping this. So we see Ariana FaceTiming her boyfriend Dan, and you could tell that Dan is such good vibes and he puts Ariana in the best mood. Like, Ariana is so lucky that she just met him. Like, imagine Ariana's depression. What that would be like if it weren't for Dan swooping in, scooping her up, breaking her back, putting her back out. Imagine. I cannot fathom. So it's like Dan has really straight up saved the day. He loves to cook, and I don't, just good for Ariana. So anyways, Lala apparently is like graying like an old ass woman. So Lisa is upset at Jax. She always has some thing for him. They have some, back and forth about the word superfluous and whatever. It just, that scene was way too long. And so, Katie, now we are at James's. And Katie says, I'm not a fan of Jax Taylor. Whenever someone is saying that they've changed, that it tends to be the more untrue it is. So Katie, like, I like her vibes. I'm sorry. I don't think she's a Debbie Downer at all. She is a bit serious, and she's not going to sugarcoat. She's not going to pretend to like you. She's going to tell it like it is. I don't mind it. That's fine with me. And so Jack says that he's not a gossiper, but then he talks about Schwartz maybe moving into Ariana's home. And I love that Ariana doesn't care. It's like, and what's so strange about this season is, I swear, 2 episodes ago, Ariana was like a very angry person and seemed like she was not over, Scandoval at all. And then on episode 13, she's like so at peace. You know what? Just dawned on me right now. So this is what may have happened. Maybe when Ariana had that showdown with Tom, where she was like, don't look at me, shut the fuck up, I'm calling 911 for harassment. Okay. This is what may have happened. Maybe between episode, like that episode, which was like 2 episodes ago, and this week's episode, maybe Ariana secured some really big deals, right? This is my theory. It's unfounded, but it makes damn sense to me. Maybe between like 2 weeks prior and last night's and the episode from Tuesday, Ariana secured the bag even more. So then she was so zen and so happy and so peaced out, and everything was just euphoria to her, that she just like had to sit down with Schwartz, like they besties. She wasn't worked up over Sandoval, like Ariana secured the bag. I mean, the bitch just bought a few months ago $1.6 million house. So maybe like Ariana found out, maybe she began talks to appear on Chicago or secured all kinds of deals. So she was like, you know what? I don't even care that Tom fucked Rachel anymore. I'm good. It was so nice to see like she was pissed and then she was just chill. Yeah, Ariana's like, he could do whatever he wants with the house. I just want my money. She's like, next. I know I'm about to buy a house, so whatever. Turn it into a brothel. I'm good. So James has a pool party. I love that James puts his pool to use. He's like, you know what? I bought a pool to use it. Y'all better be coming over all the time to get up in my pool. So I love that, James, little old scrawny old young James, was there giving Sandoval advice about, are you sure think about how you're gonna look and feel 6 months from now. And this is all, James being so mature. James has like a phenomenal edit this year. Like, I wonder what is gonna happen to him in next season or future seasons, because his edit is so great this year. And producers really like to wane in and out of, will waver like people having a good edit and a horrible edit. So we see that Lala shows up to James's house and ascended to Daryl back. There's something so trailer trash about Lala, and what I mean by that is the way how this bitch will milk every dime out of every opportunity is very trailer trash coded to me. I know it's like entrepreneurial, but it's also a little too money hungry and desperate. It's like the way how Lala is all about her bread, like you would think that she has like $4 in her bank account. It's a little too thirsty. And the set whole send it to Daryl thing, she picked the ugliest font. She made the font too big. It looked so corny. And the show was just so popular and people were so fired up about Scandival that they bought that shit. And it's like, I'm sorry, you couldn't catch me dead in anything that said send it to Daryl. Like, for what? Like, that phrase, it's not doing anything for me. Just like send it to Daryl. Like, honestly, that makes as much sense as dipped out. like Tom's dipped out shirt. So we see that James starts crying about his quote unquote fur baby hippie, and James says that their souls are conjoined and that the others don't understand. James is like, I love an emotional like man, and I love a crier. And yeah, James to me is clearly unwell, but that's sexy to me. Like, if James is bawling over his fur baby hippie, can you imagine what a dope ass dad James is gonna be? Like, James has a lot of love to give. So if Allie, if it's seriously a hard line with Allie where she doesn't want to have his kids, I hope that she moves it along and allows James to be with someone that he could have kids with, because this man was meant to be a father if he's that emotional over his damn dog. So Allie, she has a huge in my rewatch to get my notes together for this, I saw that Allie is in the left-hand corner of the screen, smiling from ear to ear when Jax and Katie are arguing about how much they hate each other. And we, you know, if you saw it, you see that Jax thinks that Katie is behind a cheating rumor, which she isn't. Like, Jax is an idiot. But anyways, why was Allie so elated that Jax and Katie were yelling at each other? I don't like that for Allie. I don't like that for us. I thought Allie's supposed to be this innocent, very young looking, boring ass bony girlfriend of James. Why was she happy that Jax and Katie were arguing? Like, here's the thing about Allie. This bitch, you can tell, it doesn't matter if she's on this show for 20 seasons, she's never gonna have an argument. She's so boring, so monotone, so just like, you know, very predictable. And she, this woman could not stir the pot. She couldn't stir the pot under any circumstances. Like, so, but I didn't like that she was happy about that fight. It rubbed me the wrong way. It was messy to me. It was gross. And I don't know, it's just because with Allie, like, she doesn't need to be on the show. She's not adding much. So I can't, like, I can't really, they could take her off. They could remove Allie. Like, I don't need her. So anyways, Ariana and Schwartz, like I kept saying, they had a nice little talk about, you know, Ariana's house and how he doesn't want to move in. And Sandoval tells Hippie, if you ever see your mommy again, tell her I said hi. This is like why Sandoval needs a PR crisis team. Like, Sandoval really, like, I think Sandoval was in lust with Rachel. I don't think they had enough going on for to convince me that he was in love with her, because I think Sandoval was just happy to get his dick wet, and so therefore it made him more starry-eyed than he should be. But for him to tell Rachel's dog, ex-dog, that if you ever see your mommy again, tell her I said hi. Like, he's so dumb and he has no shame. I don't know. It's like, can you imagine being Ariana, like watching how corny this man is and be like, wow, I used to have sex with him? Like, ugh. So, Sheena yells at Brock that she wants to put Summer down, Summer Moon down. Like, Sheena is like one of the most annoying moms I've ever seen on television. I'm Team Brock. Like, they got a nanny to put Summer Moon down. Summer Moon don't need you reading a story to her this one night. Like, have some fun. Why are you so annoying? So Sheena asks Thomas if he's heard her stupid ass song, Apples. I think Sheena, like, I could see it in her big ass eyes. Like, Sheena thinks that her song is good. Who's going to tell Sheena that her song is horrible? Who's gonna tell her that it is no good as gold? Like, it's dumb. The song is really stupid.